Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Monday. It's April 8th on the Solemnity of the Annunciation, of course, a different date for this normal Holy Day feast day because the original date of March 25th fell during Holy Week. But good to be with you here on Catholic Connection on a Monday morning, and of course lots of folks talking about the eclipse, which will happen later today, and there's a number of different states in the path of totality, and there's some really cool stories on Catholic News Agency and the Register looking at this from a faith perspective, so very neat. Do hope that you had a beautiful Divine Mercy Sunday weekend, and today we have the wonderful bishop from the Chaldean Diocese, and it's the eastern part of the country. Bishop Francis Calabat is based here in our area in southeastern Michigan, an amazingly strong, wonderful, kind, loving, just full of life bishop, and he put out a very, very strong statement after the White House did that whole proclamation about recognizing March 31st, which they had done before, but they made a big deal of it over the Easter weekend, which really hurt a lot of Christians and got a lot of people upset. But what's so beautiful about Bishop Calabat's approach to this is that he's saying, okay, all right, you did that. Instead of hating and yelling and screaming, we are going to counter with more witness. If you're going out there and explaining and getting out there about in what you believe, being very vocal in what you believe, then we should be doing the same thing. So he looked at it really as a Romans 8:28 situation, despite how shocking it was, coming again from an administration that is led by a man who claims to be a devout Catholic. Now, we don't judge hearts, but we judge actions. And if we didn't judge actions, brothers and sisters, there would be no law, because that's what the whole system of law is, right? You get somebody arrested because they're convicted or suspected of doing a crime. Then you go through the process of seeing if they are guilty of that act or that particular violation. So we're not judging hearts here with the president or anybody else pushing particular agendas. We're looking at actions. And when you say that you're a devout Catholic and you turn around and consistently, whether it's Joe Biden or another Democrat or a Republican, whomever you are, if you claim your beliefs as a devout Catholic and then you consistently do things to attack that belief in terms of the Catholic Church, then that's problematic and it needs to be discussed. Just like Cardinal Wilton Gregory said a few weeks ago, talking about Joe Biden being a cafeteria Catholic in his personal opinion. So we're judging actions, not hearts, and it's important to clarify this, especially for people during an election year and for our own ability to educate when we see something like this, because it's bound to get a response. And Bishop Francis Calabat sat down with us earlier because he couldn't join us live at 9 a.m. Eastern today, so he's going to be coming to us via recording because we have the technology. But I think you're going to enjoy the interview because it's very, very encouraging as opposed to being, you know, very overwhelming with so much bad news out there. So that's the first part of the show, and then we'll come back live with you with Christian Hawkins from Students for Life and a big challenging week with a lot going on politically, and what do we need to do to support life and to help the groups like hers that are out there on the front lines. Gail Buckley, unfortunately, is not feeling well today, so we're giving her the day off, and God willing, she'll be back next week. But in the meantime, weather-wise, well, we're just going to talk about the eclipse, and you're going to have some clouds in some areas, but it looks like Indiana is going to be one of the best places to see the solar eclipse taking place this afternoon. 4 minutes past the hour, let's take a news break and see what's happening in and around the world. Then we'll take a commercial break and hear from Bishop Francis Calabat. Here we go. The Israeli military says it has withdrawn all ground troops in the southern Gaza Strip except for one brigade. No further details given, and it's unclear if the withdrawal was related to Israel's plans to invade the southern city of Rafah, where it says Hamas militants are hiding. Reuters says the withdrawal comes as Egypt prepares to host a new round of negotiations aimed at reaching a ceasefire and a hostage deal between Israel and Hamas. And in Tel Aviv, Nathan Morley with Vatican News tells us scuffles breaking out and at least four people arrested after demonstrators sat on a row blocking a main junction in the city. Over the weekend, the Israeli military saying it had recovered the body, meanwhile, of a hostage from southern Gaza.
Hamas has sent a delegation of its leaders to Cairo for talks on a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and a hostage for prisoner swap deal between the movement and Israel. Hamas, though, said it would stick to its position it presented at talks on the 14th of March, which included a permanent ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from Gaza, the return of displaced individuals to their places of residence, people's freedom of movement, relief and shelter, and a serious prisoner swap deal. The Hamas announcement coincides with a meeting in Cairo on Saturday to discuss a ceasefire in Gaza and a hostage-for-prisoner swap deal. The meeting brings together the CIA director, William Burns, the Qatari prime minister, and the head of Egypt's intelligence agency.
Pope Francis on Sunday invoking political leaders to pause and make efforts to mediate to negotiate a path to peace. Speaking during the Regina Celi address, the Holy Father inviting the faithful not to fail in continuing to pray for peace. He said a just, lasting peace, especially for the tormented Ukraine and for Palestinian and Israel, is necessary. And reiterating his tireless appeal to those in power to do everything possible to stop ongoing conflicts, he did pray to the risen Lord, he said, to enlighten and sustain those engaged in efforts to negotiate a political solution. Yesterday, meanwhile, marking 6 months since Hamas' deadly October 7th attack on Israel, and more than 130 hostages are still being held by Hamas as negotiations continue to strike a ceasefire deal.
Bringing the hostages back should be the top priority. It should be a world top priority. Everyone looking for de-escalation in the region should be opening the sentence saying, you know, release the hostages. You know, any sentence of any demand of ceasefire without release of hostages is a death sentence to them.
The parents and brother of a hostage speaking on CNN's State of the Union yesterday, Omar Nutra, is an American who joined the Israeli army and was taken hostage by Hamas. His parents say they experience terror every day. Their son remains in captivity. And a vote in the Republican-led House for additional aid to Ukraine could be coming soon. Arkansas Republican French Hill telling CBS's Face the Nation that the House Speaker will likely bring a national security package to the floor after the House passes legislation reauthorizing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Hill said he believes aid for Ukraine remains a top priority and should have passed months ago. The Senate passing a sweeping package in February that includes funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. But Speaker Johnson has been reluctant to take up the legislation as he faces opposition from conservative members of his conference. And Jim Forbes tells us Joe Biden could have some trouble getting on the Ohio ballot for this year's general election.
On Friday, Ohio officials asked for clarification on an apparent scheduling conflict between the Ohio Secretary of State's office and the Democratic National Convention. The DNC plans to nominate Biden for the general election on August 19th. However, Ohio's nomination deadline is nearly 2 weeks earlier. It means Biden could be ruled ineligible to appear on Ohio's ballot. Biden's campaign told ABC News, quote, "We're monitoring the situation in Ohio, and we're confident that Joe Biden will be on the ballot in all 50 states.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott accusing Joe Biden, meanwhile, of using asylum seekers as political pawns. During an interview with Fox News Sunday, the Republicans saying Biden created an open border policy to appeal to the far left and the Democratic Party. Tensions between Abbott and the Biden administration continue to rise over the surge of migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Texas and the administration are currently locked in a legal battle over a law that would allow local law enforcement in Texas to arrest those suspected of entering the country illegally. Country singer Lee Greenwood partnering with former President Trump to sell the God Bless the USA Bible. Greenwood telling the Clay and Buck show the idea came after he spoke with a group of immigrants who had become American citizens.
And I said, well, then, are you a Christian? And I said, about 70% of them are. And so what's wrong, then, with putting documents of our founding fathers with a Bible?
The Bible includes the chorus to Greenwood's hit God Bless the USA, and part of the package also includes the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Jonathan O'Halloran tells us a massive cargo ship lost power in the waters near the Verrazano Narrows Bridge over the weekend.
An eye-opening story just a few weeks after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, after an 89,000-ton ship lost propulsion as it approached the Verrazano Bridge around 8:30 Friday night. The Coast Guard says three tugboats were needed to assist the vessel until it regained power. After a detailed inspection and certification, the ship was allowed to resume its scheduled trip to South Carolina without incident.
Matt Madison tells us Meta says its social media platforms will start labeling content that was AI-generated.
The company announced the new rule Friday and will be implemented on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads starting in May. Meta says they're making the changes to its current policy, which was created in 2020, based on feedback by the company's oversight board. The tech giant also said starting in July, it would stop removing AI-generated content as long as it doesn't violate community guidelines.
Seismologists say aftershocks could continue for another week following Friday's earthquake in New Jersey. The U.S. Geological Survey says the 4.8 magnitude quake was the strongest on the East Coast in 100 years and shook buildings across the Northeast. The quake also followed by some 40 aftershocks, and again, seismologists say more are on the way. Deanna Kodak reports that officials are warning people about possible traffic issues around today's solar eclipse.
The Federal Highway Administration estimates that up to 5 million people will be traveling to see the event. Officials say that's likely because there are eight major cities within a three-hour drive from the path of totality. In order to avoid congestion, they recommend travelers leave for their trips earlier and stay at their destinations a bit longer.
There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7:15. There's a new home run champion of all time.
And today marks the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking the Major League Baseball career home run record held by Babe Ruth. On April 8th, back in 1994, Hammer and Hank entering the Atlanta Braves game against the L.A. Dodgers and tied with Ruth with 714 home runs. After drawing a walk in his first at-bat, Aaron came up in the bottom of the fourth inning and sent an Al Downing pitch into the left field stands for the record breaker. The Braves say they're planning a number of celebrations this evening when they host the New York Mets. In addition, a ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place today at the Atlanta History Center for an exhibit called More Than Brave, The Life of Henry Aaron. Thanks for tuning in on a Monday morning. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Are you having trouble in your marriage and don't know where to turn? Has your spouse stopped going to Mass with you? Has infidelity taken place in your marriage? Have money issues put your relationship on a bumpy road? Do you have issues with your in-laws? Hi, I'm Janet Williams. Join me and my husband, Jack Williams. We talk about marriage and how we are to lead our spouse to the faith. It's Marriage Monday on Women of Grace at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Garendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
It's always great to catch up with a dear friend of mine. He's based in southeastern Michigan but represents Chaldean Catholics across a large area of the country, Bishop Francis Calavet. And I can't believe, Your Excellency, that it's been since January that we haven't actually seen each other, because you always join us for the March for Life and our coverage on EWTN. Happy Easter to you, my friend.
And a blessed one to you, too, my dear, and to all the listeners as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit, because you always are so faithful and very strong in loving, but strong in your statements. And you really put out a very, very strong statement regarding Joe Biden, who describes himself as a devout Catholic, signing a statement, a proclamation, which was signed on Good Friday, recognizing March 31st, which they had already chosen as a visibility day, as we've discussed on this program previously, for the transgender people. But he chose Easter Sunday to put out this major proclamation. So tell us how you responded to that when you first saw it, when you first heard about it, before you put out your statement.
Well, you know, I had two opposite reactions to it, and I don't like doing things just out of a reaction. Reaction number one is like, really, this is really showing your colors. And that was actually my aha moment. It's like, okay, good. Thank God you're showing your colors. I actually like it. You know, anything that's in the dark that now is revealed in the light, I actually like. I like truth, you know, and sometimes truth hurts. Now I know what his administration, we've already known what the administration has been doing, the demonic, and I use these words specifically, demonic attacks against our children, against our faith, now is actually much more, now shedding its light. Right. That, you know, that now we can take a better look and a better way to take action. And so for me, as I was thinking about it, it's like, wait a minute. Visibility of something demonic. Why? This to me was a devil's attack, using Joe Biden, but it's a devil's attack against Easter.
Mm.
Oh, okay, so what do we do? Well, what did the early apostles do? They proclaimed the resurrection. And so what do we got to do? Proclaim the resurrection. See, what I believe is that every grace turned upside down is a sin. Every sin turned upside down is a grace. So what was the sin? Let's take away visibility from Easter and put it on something else. How do you respond? Well, okay, now I could react by being angry and being hateful and curse him and, wait a minute, trying to hide Easter. Got it. Thank you. That means we need to proclaim Easter. That was the statement. It's like, okay, we are going to proclaim the week between Easter Sunday until Divine Mercy Sunday. For us, it's called New Sunday. It's the same gospel that we read every year. And it is, you know, Jesus appearing to the 10 apostles. Judas is already dead and Thomas was not with them. And then he forgives, he heals, he gives them apostolic commission to forgive sins. And then Thomas shows up a week later. And touch, feel, now, don't be an unbeliever, but believe. I thought, oh, amen. So what do we got to do? Scream and yell and curse our president? No. We need to be more proactive about being visible about our faith. Jesus is risen. That's the basic homily or testament of St. Peter on Pentecost Sunday and the preaching of Peter and Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, and one of the things that I preached about on Easter Sunday is that the transformation that happens just by proclaiming Jesus is alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the leaders wanted them to be quiet. Hey, stop preaching, Jesus is alive. It's like, we got rid of him. Now you're telling me he's alive? Well, that's what the devil wants. That's why he wants this proclamation on Easter Sunday. If it's there by accident or not by accident, you know, it's the devil does not want Easter to be proclaimed. How do we defeat that? We proclaim Jesus is alive. So you've got a shirt that says he's alive, wear it. You've got, you know, opportunities to proclaim it, proclaim it. This is how we bring in grace. And not just, I'm a firm believer, I don't curse the darkness, I bring light.
I love that. You know what I was thinking when you responded by thinking this is a good thing, that we're seeing how people feel, they're showing their colors.
Yeah.
I thought about the same thing. I thought maybe this is a Romans 8:28 moment for us. All things work together for good, right? Because if you're that clear and you're that strong on something that you really believe that you should be supporting, then okay, then we know, and we can actually point this to people when they ask us questions about, you know, teachings of the church, and when someone says they're a devout Catholic, what does that mean? It doesn't mean, as Archbishop Wilton Gregory said, you can't go around picking and choosing what you want to believe in the church and put it aside. So I always try to look, as you do, Your Excellency, I always try to look at the glasses, as hard as it is sometimes, as half full. Okay, how can I turn a negative into a positive?
Right, and that's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet that sounds. It can turn any wretch, any horrible situation into a grace. So because of that statement or that proclamation, we get to proclaim the resurrection better. Okay, let's do it. Yes, you know, the devil is against the sin of the cross. That's what I wrote. It's the sin of the cross is to kill God. Well, we have the grace of the resurrection that makes the sin of the cross something we pray, we wear proudly and carry with us proudly. You know, let me put it to you this way. When I was younger, I was in middle school. I wore my first communion cross to school, public school. And I remember a kid, one of my classmates, came to me and said, "Why are you wearing an image of a dead man?" I was in middle school. I didn't know how to answer him, actually. I had never heard it put that way. And it actually hurt me. And I was so disappointed in myself that I didn't know how to respond. I actually walked away and I was angry at him. I was angry at myself. I was angry that he didn't have any answers. But here's the answer. The answer is, if you don't have faith, it is an image of a dead man. Oh, but we have the resurrection. This is a sacrifice of a loving God. And that's the beauty that we have, and that's what we got to proclaim. I don't want to just be reactionary. The other thing that I proclaim all the time is, you know, the Our Father was given to us in order. You know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is given last. And sometimes what we do is we get into a reactionary mode. Well, that's why we got to fight all the time. What are you leaving behind? Hallowed be thy name, God. Thy kingdom come, thy will. You're so beautiful. It's all about your kingdom. What does that have to do with me? Nothing but everything. It's not about me, but it is about me because you're about me. It's about your kingdom, Lord, and I'm proud to be part of that kingdom. Then we can get into lead us. Before that, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive. Transform us to be like you, to forgive, because I can't forgive. That's how I look at it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. There's no way any human being can forgive unless they've gotten grace and the grace of being forgiven first. Now I can take that and say, okay, I've gotten all the graces of praising God, worshiping God, receiving my daily bread, Jesus, and now I'm forgiven and I've become an instrument of forgiveness. Now I can do battle with the devil. Now I can do battle with evil. So when I'm facing the devil, unless I have to have an immediate reaction, I need to go back to, okay, I need to praise God. I need to bring in light. I can't just keep cursing and fighting the dark in the dark.
Right. There's a balance there. And by the way, if you're just joining us on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, we're talking with Bishop Francis Calabat from the Chaldean Diocese based in the Archdiocese of Detroit within that framework in terms of the location, but it is a specific diocese. And tell us a little bit about your diocese, Bishop, for people who aren't familiar with it, because you represent a large area of Chaldean Catholics.
Well, we do. We're actually the eastern half of the United States.
States,
but we're
yeah.
mostly, I mean, I'd say about 90-95% are based in the Detroit metropolitan area in Michigan. And we do have a couple of parishes in Chicago. We have a mission in Boston, you know, and we've got other Chaldeans that are spread everywhere. God willing, slowly but surely, we'll be able to look into their spiritual needs, you know, to be able to reconnect them with the church here and the Mother Church being in Iraq, going through its own struggles and its own pains and its own issues, and you know, whether in Baghdad or anywhere else. But the beauty of it is that, you know, we're a first century Christian. St. Thomas came to us on his way to India and left behind two disciples named Ede and Mari. And these, you know, we're proud to say that we've had the faith. You know, sometimes some people go, "You're from the Middle East and you're not Muslim?" No, I'm not. You know, we've preceded Islam by practically seven centuries. Point is that we're proud of who we are. We're proud to be able to proclaim that Jesus is alive, that Jesus heals, and that Jesus strengthens. And you know what? We've gone through so many different persecutions and so many different. We're a church of martyrs. That was one of our nicknames, the Church of Martyrs, or the Church of the East. That's another title that we were given. And for us, we're a church that we want to be alive and making the United States as our home. There's a second diocese based in San Diego.
San Diego, right.
My home parish. You know, and so I'm very, very proud to see Chaldeans becoming more and more involved with their faith. For example, March for Life, I can't tell you the number of Chaldeans that were coming in. Not just we, you know, we're doing our own, you know, trip and trying to gather, but you've got Chaldean teachers who are bringing in students. You've got Chaldeans who are involved in other parishes and bringing in for, you know, something as important as proclaiming life, you know, starting to get more and more involved with our faith, growing in leaps and bounds. We're bursting at the seams. We have
you are. Hold that thought, Your Excellency. We'll be back to talk more about the Chaldean presence, not only in Michigan, but across the country, but also more about the response and how your people were involved and before, but even after this statement was made by Joe Biden. More with Bishop Francis Kallebaut when we talk again right after the break on a Monday morning. Stay tuned. So appreciate the ministry and the honesty and the truth from Bishop Francis Kallebaut, big friend of ours at Ave Maria Radio in southeastern Michigan, and of course EWTN. Catholic Diocese, the Chaldeans, huge population in Detroit. We're so proud of our Chaldean community. Also, as he mentioned, Boston, San Diego, Chicago. Your Excellency, we were talking during the break about the idea of using this as a real opportunity. What was the response from your community, first of all, the Chaldean Catholic community, in southeastern Michigan and across the eastern half of the country that you represent, when you put the statement out? How did they respond to it?
Well, you know, I'll be very honest with you. There was a lot of positive response, and this is, for them, it was an extra push to be able to really reveal the Sacred Heart of Jesus, reveal to us through the Jesus dying and rising for us. So there's a lot of good response. There's a couple that came out and said, well, you know, this is just, it happened by accident. So, well, by the way, we're not immune from sin. So we have a lot of people who are, you know, falling into what the world is preaching and teaching. And so there wasn't a response that said, I had a friend of mine who called me up and said, okay, how do I tell them that this is something that the president has been doing the last couple of years, and it just by accident came up on, you know, on Easter Sunday? You know, they've been talking about trans visibility for the last, I think, 10 or 15 years. Well, here's an interesting answer. By the way, I didn't even know this, but this is Joe Biden for the last 2 years has been, like, clapping for it. He's been talking about it. This is the first year where he's signed an official declaration.
Right. That's what why so many people got upset, and because it was signed and it was pushed out Easter weekend,
right,
and specifically focused on Easter Sunday.
Exactly. So he signs a proclamation against the Catholic Church, against our faith, on Good Friday. What does that mean? Well, we're crucifying Christ, you know, and this is the day that Jesus sacrificed for us. And it's the day where the devil rejoice and then recognize what he did. Because I love the statement from St. Paul, when he says, if they would have known what they did, you know, in crucifying Christ, they would have never crucified him. Well, okay, now you've crucified him again. That's fine. Now let's take advantage of this. How do we fight this? Easter Sunday. So he, you know, signed it on Good Friday, revealed it on Easter Saturday, and then, you know, promoted on Easter Saturday, and it was fulfilled on Easter Sunday. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, this is now a push for us. One of the things that you have to give credit is that they're not afraid to proclaim their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have an agenda. We have a proclamation to say, Jesus. So you know what? Let us then no longer be afraid and proclaim. You know, and this is where we need to come in. This is where I'm not going to push Jesus on you. I'm not going to hit you over the head. But I am going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you asked why I did this. By the way, two friends of mine just came from a restaurant a couple of days ago and said, I'm sorry, I noticed you guys doing the sign of the cross in the restaurant. Are you Catholic? And they said, not only are we Catholic, we're Chaldean. It turns out that the guy who was serving them was with me in seminary.
Oh.
I said, oh, you know. All started by what? Doing the sign of the cross.
Right.
So don't be afraid to do the sign of the cross when you're in a restaurant eating. You know, and there are times when I'm in a restaurant, God, you know, Lord, we thank you for this meal, and the you know, the waitress comes in and goes, oh, I'll stop, I'll wait. Amen. Thank you.
I told a story a couple of weeks ago when Deacon Don was dropping me off for a speaking engagement at Metro Airport in Detroit, and he always prays over me before I leave. And so we were in line. He brought my suitcases out, and I was waiting at the Delta SkyCap, right, the line to go into the SkyCap. And so he was praying over me, making the sign of the cross and giving me a blessing. And he gets in the car, and all of a sudden this very nice man runs up to me, and he said, you were praying with your husband, weren't you? And I said, yes, we were. And he said, you have no idea how beautiful that is. He said, he was a driver. He was a limo driver. And he said, I told my client, they're praying. Look at that. And he ran up to me, and we talked, find out that he's Catholic also. But he said, thank you for doing that in public. But it was a little, we didn't do this grand gesture, you know, Dom didn't have holy water
or a big giant, wasn't vested.
You know, he just prayed over me. He just said a prayer and said, you know, Lord, keep my wife safe, have a good talk, blah, blah, blah.
Amen.
You know, amen. And then got back in the car. That little thing got that kind of a response, just like your response in the restaurant.
Do we have the history of God taking little things and making them into great, grandiose things?
Yes.
Yeah, her name is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a simple little girl, and God made her into the greatest woman of all, greatest creation of all time. And that's what God wants to do. Do the little things. And God is going to take it and do great things with it. It's that little seed. Throw the little seed. Water it. You know what's going to happen from it? It's going to grow. It's going to take time, but it's going to grow into this gorgeous fruit-bearing tree or bush or whatever it is. And that's what we got to do. We got to do the little things. We're not here to change all of society by tomorrow. We're here to witness the little things. Just start with home. Start with your family. Start with your spouse. Start with your children. Pray over them. You know what? Give them the sign of the cross. Bless them. And here's the crazy thing that I do. When I'm driving on I-75 and I see all the billboards for, you know, marijuana and FanDuel and all these other things that are just destroying families, I say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And I bless every single one of them. But that's the least thing that I can do.
Right.
And maybe this is what we all need to do. Throw in a few blessings here and there on a regular basis. You know, the priesthood of Jesus that is within you. Something that some Protestants do better than we do, in general, not all of us, and that is we have the priesthood of Jesus. Bless your spouse, bless your children. You don't need a priest. Bless objects, bless things around you. I mean, I'm talking about objects, even bad objects, like a billboard. You know, Father forgives them. That's a blessing. You know, and this is important for us. Let's become, you know, spreaders of, super spreaders. You know, of not germs, not evil, but of goodness, of grace. God will use that, and God does. And this is the beauty of what God takes our littleness and does great things with it. So, you know, we got a few responses here and there that was good. Amen. Let's push for it. We got some responses that were bad. All right. You know, I had a shepherd's call, a live session once a month, and once in Arabic, and 1 month in Arabic, 1 month in English. You know, I brought it up. I talked about it. And I talked about, you know, some people just don't get it, don't understand it because they're pro-trans and pro love. Here's the thing. This was what was explained, and this is what it is, and this is who we are.
Well, also, I think, as you said earlier, Excellency, we only have about a minute left. I want to give you a chance to plug your website as well for more information.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity. You told that very powerful story when you were a little boy, how you didn't have an answer for the person who said, why are you wearing an image of a dead man in the crucifix you were wearing? This is an opportunity, again, an opportunity. Do we have the answer when people say, well, why do you hate so much and don't support LGBTQ? Why don't you support transgenderism? What is it? You know, our president is very loving when he's supporting all of these people. Well, there's a difference between supporting them and leading them to a place that's going to harm them. They're made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, so we have to have the answers from our beautiful faith and who we are. Okay, we have about a minute left. I can't believe the time went by so fast. What is the website for the Chaldean Diocese?
Well, ChaldeanChurch.org, and
we
actually have the first International Chaldean Conference. But I also want to support, you know, the Eucharistic Congress that's coming up in July. Our Chaldean conference is in June, and in July, the Eucharistic Congress that I'm actually helping the USCCB. I think it's going to be
awesome.
Phenomenal.
Well, if you're going to be there, it's going to be dynamic for sure, Your Excellency.
Jesus
so
is
great.
Be there.
Amen. Jesus, and you're going to be there too. Bishop Francis Calibut from the Chaldean Diocese, based in Michigan, but representing half of the country. God bless him. He's an amazing bishop. We're glad that he's in Michigan, and we're glad we got to have him on this morning. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour. It is a Monday morning, April 8th, the solemnity of the, of course, Annunciation, normally on March 25th, but since March 25th fell during Holy Week, we are marking it today. So if you were tuning in earlier, you may have heard the Mass, and the Mass ran a little bit over, and I think we started the program about 8 minutes past the hour, so you came in toward the beginning, I believe, of the news and then the break, and I just kind of want to reboot a little bit because the discussion we had with Bishop Francis Calibut is super important. And while the Mass was playing, I was talking about why we decided to have him on. We sat down and pre-recorded an interview with him earlier because the weekend of Holy Week, and the weekend of Easter, actually, he put out a very strong but loving statement in response to Joe Biden making a big deal out of March 31st being Transgender Visibility Day. And, of course, March 31st this year fell on Easter. So the discussion was about how do we respond to that? It's upsetting, it's jarring to make a big deal of it out of the holiest day of the year for us as Christians, especially Catholic Christians, right? And then someone doing this claims to be a devout Catholic. And so the response has been strong from, in many cases, church leadership, including Bishop Francis Calibut from the Chaldean Diocese, which is based in Michigan. But the interesting thing is that the timing of it, time, and this is one of the reasons why we wanted to have him on today, and you would have heard this had you heard the first part of the show, but we wanted to have him on today because a much anticipated document from the Vatican has now come out that just hit the presses. We've got the Vatican document. We've got the actual story from Catholic News Agency that I'll share with you, which ties directly into this discussion on the issue of transgender ideology. So Bishop Calibut saying, if you heard the first part of the interview where he was talking about when he was a child and he was wearing a crucifix, he was about 10, 11 years old, and he had a very hard time. He could not respond to a fellow student who said, why are you wearing an image of a dead man around your neck? And his discussion today was about how are we going to respond? Do we know how to respond when folks say to us, well, why are we against transgenderism? Why are we against IVF? Why are we against surrogacy? We need to have the answers. And so this document is timely because of Bishop Calibut, but also because of our next guest. She's an amazing woman, mom, a Catholic convert, and she's out there on the front lines every single day. That's what she does. We have a lot to talk about today, but being that she's a Catholic convert, I know she'll be interested in this Vatican document because it talks about all the things that she stands up for, especially, obviously, the dignity of the human person and the unborn and so much more. Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. Hey, happy Easter, my dear. How are you?
Happy Easter. Good to see you. And
now, I know we're
going to your home state tomorrow in Michigan.
Oh,
state,
what are you
Michigan
doing?
State University tomorrow.
Michigan State?
Yes.
Mm. That's a great school, Michigan State University, East Lansing, Michigan. Now, I went to Central Michigan, but, hey, it's Michigan State is still a great school, so go Spartans. All right. So I know we're going to talk about a couple of the statements that have been made by politicians, but I don't know if you heard yet, and this literally just happened, that it was anticipated to come out.
I just saw it come through. I haven't read it yet.
Okay, good. Well, I think you'll be obviously very pleased with it. It's a very, very strong document, and it highlights, I think, Kristen, I was just saying, the need for us to really be able to understand our faith and mm-hmm. the issue of life, because this document is coming out confirming the dignity of the human person, speaking up against IVF, surrogacy, assisted suicide, abortion, and other things that affect human dignity. So it's a super important thing for us as Catholic Christians to really read this, right, and understand what the Church is saying, reminding us, especially during election year, about life being the preeminent issue.
That's exactly right. I mean, I'm so glad to see that the Vatican, you know, posted this document to give that clarity to Catholics and Christians worldwide, and really a way for them to think about some of these issues. Because what we've seen, especially here in America, in this IVF debate lately, we conducted a poll after this Alabama Supreme Court decision, and, you know, the Republicans were trying to overcorrect the decision, and say, oh, no, we support IVF. In fact, today, President Donald Trump put out a statement endorsing IVF. But what we found with just some simple questions, some polling that we've done at our team, Students for Life, our Institute for Pro-Life Advancement, is that the majority of Americans, both pro-life and pro-choice, do not know what happens in IVF. And we weren't seeing 88% conversion rates, minds change rates in pro-life and pro-choice Americans when they learned what happens inside IVF clinics. And I think too few people have really thought about these issues of surrogacy and IVF and what they mean when it comes to treating every human being as a valuable child created in the image of our maker.
Well, you have now what appears to be the two major candidates for the presidency of the United States, the current president, the incumbent, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump, both being very supportive of IVF. Do you think it's a lack of education on their part? What do you think in terms of the political circles in which you run?
For me, I would say it's definitely a lack of education. And I think there's also a certain level of folks really not wanting to be educated about this issue. We see this all the time on campuses, Teresa, when you're having a conversation with somebody who will just start tuning out facts because they don't really want to know. Because facts are dangerous little things, right? Once you learn about the truth about IVF as a Christian, as a pro-life person, you can't look away from that. No matter how much sympathy and empathy you have for those who are experiencing infertility, no matter, you know, how much we want to see there more babies in this world and understand the beautiful nature of families and, you know, the purpose of families, we have to look at the facts and what really happened inside IVF clinics. And that's hard. That means that sometimes you have to have hard conversations with people you love or how these facts might affect decisions you yourself might be making. I know, for example, my son, Gunnar, who has cystic fibrosis, will be infertile as someone who has cystic fibrosis. And so I've had to think deeply about this. It's one of the things that I mourned when Gunnar received that CF diagnosis as a child, that I would never have biological grandchildren. And that's still... I'm kind of whispering because I'm at home with him and it's still a conversation I haven't fully had with him yet. It's a very personal thing, but we have to speak truth. And I think that's what this Vatican document has done today. It's spoken into a tough subject, even when you think about the transgender issue and gender theory of we're not saying that there aren't gender confused individuals or children out there, those who are struggling with their gender or their sexual identity. And we're not saying we don't love them, but what we need to be speaking truth to them is that you were made and created in His image with a purpose. And as the title of the document says, you have infinite dignity. Which isn't being upheld when you embrace this radical gender theory concept, or even the things I saw this weekend on social media. There was groundbreaking reports from mainstream medical journals coming out this weekend saying that, you know, these hormone therapies that Planned Parenthood is now one of the leading distributors of, you know, saying that they're going to suppress hormones and gender-confused children. They've always said that this is reversible and there's no damages. Came out this weekend, they're not really reversible. The other thing that we saw this weekend is that the vast majority of young children who are gender confused, by the time they reach adulthood, change their minds.
I was just going to share with you, there's a story on Catholic News Agency today. A study from researchers in the Netherlands found that nearly two-thirds of children who had wished that they belonged to the opposite sex as adolescents ultimately became comfortable with their biological sex in early adulthood. The 15-year study was conducted by researchers in Netherlands tracking the gender unhappiness rates of close to 3,000 study participants from ages 11 through 26. And so you have these, what many have considered very progressive areas of the world in Europe, really looking at this now and saying, whoa, we've got to put the brakes on, right?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right.
And so in terms of your work now, do you find that there's so much more education on so many other issues that have been in the news, the whole surrogacy issue, IVF, obviously abortion, the transgender issue? We all have a lot of work to do, don't we, in terms of education?
Absolutely. I mean, our work is certainly not going to end the day that abortion becomes unthinkable in our nation. Because when we're talking about creating a culture of life, it's not just ending the violence in the womb. There's so much that goes into this, and that's why this fight is so expansive. It's why we knew when Roe was reversed, it was really only signaling the beginning of the fight, not the end of this fight, because there's so many different factors that even play into the abortion decision. And, you know, the dehumanizing of the child in a test tube, frozen in a test tube in an IVF clinic, directly plays into how we view the child in the mother's womb, and vice versa. How we talk about contraception in our nation, mm-hmm. and how, you know, the majority of young women are prescribed and on artificial hormonal contraceptive, which is really bad for their bodies. And now saying so, you know, the Washington Post and other lamestream media outlets are now picking up that a lot of girls are asking very real questions that should have been asked all along. And now they're afraid. They're launching a whole campaign against, you know, quote unquote conservatives and Christians who've been calling out and highlighting the dangers of fake hormones and women putting fake hormones into their bodies for decades. So there's a lot that goes into creating that culture of life. And that's why I think, I'm super excited to dig into this,
article
mm-hmm. that came out, because I just think the title is just so perfect. Infinite dignity. That's what every human being has. And that's at the core of our mission in the pro-life movement.
It is going to be very interesting, and you do this every day, to see how the culture, not just the media, the legacy media, but also the politicians that support these types of things, which the document is affirming are wrong because it attacks the dignity of the human person, how they respond, because they're very pro-Vatican and Francis when they think that he's in their corner for something, even though they misinterpret that 99% of the time. But when something comes out so strong and clear in this area regarding abortion, IVF, surrogacy, and, of course, again, transgender theory, it's going to be real interesting, Kristen, to see what they say.
That's exactly right. I will be watching the news today with excitement, not only for this document, but also, you know, President Trump's statement this morning about his view on abortion. And so, you know, there was good and bad with his statement, but I think enough that it was exciting to see that he really hasn't fallen for the trap the Democrats were trying to set for him on abortion, that really hopefully will give us momentum to see, you know, millions of Americans really starting to pay attention to the Democrats and Joe Biden's abortion extremism, abortion up until the moment of birth, for whatever reason, taxpayer-funded right. abortion extremism.
And also his push for transgenderism, which he highlighted on Easter Sunday, even though the day of March 31st had already been declared for that visibility day. But he made an emphasis on Easter Sunday, which we just talked about earlier in the program with Chaldean Bishop Francis Calabat. Kristen, thanks so much. So you're off to Michigan State University in my home state tomorrow. Then what's next, hon?
My speaking tour continues. I'll be at University of Alabama, Florida International University, University of Pittsburgh, wrapping up my spring speaking tour on colleges. Our Stop Abortion Extremism national tour continues. We're going to hit 160-plus campuses this spring, educating young people about ballot referendums that are happening in their states, about pro-life and pro-abortion candidates, and what they're pledging to do or not do if elected, recruiting young people for Students for Life Action. We were out door knocking in several states.
I'm getting tired
weekend.
Just listening to the list. We're out of time. Kristen, great to talk to you. Kristen Hawkins, president of Student for Life Action, an amazing ministry doing amazing work for life. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential?
Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN tomorrow. Deacon Dominic Serrato, they're discussing the diaconate at the upcoming synod in the fall, but why aren't deacons involved? We'll take a look at that question. Then we'll wrap up with more discussion on the big document that came out today from the Vatican on the dignity of the human person. We'll talk to you then. Ciao, ciao. Adama.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.